Psalm 122 and the first verse, the Word of God says, this is David writing, David says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Come down now to verse 6. David says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Peace be within thy walls, and prosperity within thy palaces. For my brethren and my companions' sakes, I will now say, peace be within thee. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek thy good. I want us to go back and look primarily tonight at the sixth verse, where David says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. I want us to think about the expression there, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. First of all, let me say that the word peace has two different meanings. Sometimes when we read in the Word of God about peace, it means a lack of conflict. That is, no fussing and no fighting. And we ought to pray that among the brethren that there would never be any conflict, that there ought to be peace among the brethren. In the house of God, there ought to be great peace between brothers and sisters in Christ. The psalmist says, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. One of the greatest blessings we have as a church body is the love and the peace that we have. And we need to thank God for that. Romans chapter 12 says that as much as lieth in you to live peaceably with all men. So we need to seek after peace. We need to pray for peace. There was a time in our nation that there was a war between the states and there was unrest. There was bloodshed on our soil. Brothers fought against brothers. There was a horrible war on our soil. And when that was over, the people knew what a blessing it was to have peace. That is a lack of conflict. Now, I want you to understand that the Word of God does not teach that there will ever be total peace on this earth. There will never and can never be total peace on this earth. I'm talking about a lack of conflict. The only way that would happen is if the people of God compromised on biblical truths. That's the only way you would ever have peace, because the world will never accept the truth of God's Word. And the people of God should never compromise with the world. God's Word teaches us that if we're a friend of the world, then we're an enemy of God. So you can't be friends with the world and friends with God. I'm sorry, I'm having trouble not coughing tonight. I apologize. Yeah, I have water. I've drank almost all of it. I don't want any more. I've tried that, and I've got two cough drops in my mouth, and it's not working right now. The Word of God says here to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That's something we need to pray for. We need to pray that we will always love one another, and that there will be no conflict between us. But I believe that a deeper and more important meaning than just a lack of conflict is the other kind of peace that's taught in the Word of God. There is a peace that is a calmness and a joy in our soul. And we need to pray for that peace. We need to pray for the peace that God alone is able to give. The Word of God says in Psalm 119 and verse 165, Great peace have they who love thy law. Now that's not talking about a lack of conflict, because if you love the law of God, you're going to have enemies that hate the law of God. And yet the people of God who love the law of God, they'll have great peace in their soul. If you want to have great peace in your soul, you cannot be at peace with the world. The world will be your enemy. Now, turn with me in your Bibles, please, to the New Testament. Let's go and begin tonight in John chapter 14. John chapter 14. The very beginning of this chapter begins with a very beautiful expression that Jesus makes. In John chapter 14 and verse 1, Jesus was about to leave the earth. He was about to be crucified. And he and his disciples were together, and he says, "Let not your heart be troubled." Now, brethren, if you have a troubled heart, then you don't have peace in your soul. "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me." That's the way you'll have peace, is by believing in God and trusting in God. If you believe in God and trust in God and you commit everything to God's care, then you'll have peace in your soul. There are some of you that have had a lot of trouble during this past year, and yet I've seen great peace in your soul. And that's the kind of peace that we need to pray for, is that God will give us peace in our soul. That our heart would not be troubled and that we would not be worried. It does not matter what happens in our lives, we can have peace in our soul. But the only way we can have that peace is if the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ, gives us that peace. God is the only one who can give you peace in your soul. I can't give you peace. I can say anything I might come up with. I can read you the Word of God, but you will not have peace in your soul unless God gives you that peace. And so we need to pray, "God, please give me the peace that I need in my soul." Pray that your heart will not be troubled. Pray that you will not worry. Pray that no matter what happens in your life and no matter what comes, pray that God will give you peace. That's what the text says there in Psalm 122 and verse 6. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Now, the Jerusalem that I'm talking about right now is not that natural Jerusalem. But the Jerusalem I'm talking about, where peace is found, is called the New Jerusalem. And that's what God has prepared for His obedient children while they live here in this earth. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Not pray for peace in Jerusalem, but pray for the peace that's found in Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. What is Jerusalem? What is the kingdom of heaven defined as? Righteousness and joy and what? And peace in the Holy Ghost. That's what the Word of God defines the kingdom of God as in Romans 14, 17. It's not meat and drink, but it is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Now, if you're in the kingdom of heaven, do you know what you have when you're in the kingdom of heaven? You have peace. If you're praying for the peace of Jerusalem, you're praying that you would be in the kingdom of heaven. Do you think it's all right for you to pray that you can be in the kingdom of heaven? Do you think you ought to pray that God will give you peace in your soul? It's fine and well and good to pray for that, but you need to also understand, if all you're doing is praying for the peace of Jerusalem, God will not give you the peace of Jerusalem. There's much work and labor that we're to do. Praying is a job. Praying is work. Sometimes praying comes easy, but sometimes we need fervent prayer. And we need to be fervently praying for the peace of Jerusalem. Come down further in John chapter 14. Look at verses 15 and 16. John chapter 14, verses 15 and 16, the Word of God says, "If you love me," Jesus is speaking, "if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, And he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Did you know who is with you when you have that peace that we're looking at right now? What person of the Godhead is with you? Okay, the Holy Spirit or the Comforter is the one that's mentioned right here. Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Now, what does Jesus then say he will do if you keep his commandments? I will pray the Father, and he will send you another Comforter that he may abide with you. If the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, is abiding with you, you have that peace that we're talking about. You need to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Come down to verse 23. Verse 23 says, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Who is the we pronoun we referring to in that verse? If a man love me, he will keep my words. And then he says, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him. Who is that? That's the Father and the Son. Listen, brethren, you will have God dwelling with you and in you when you follow the commandments of God, when you keep the commandments of God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit will dwell with you and be in you. And when they are with you and dwelling with you and dwelling in you, you have great peace in your soul. Come down now to verse 27. Jesus distinguishes here the difference in the kind of peace that you can have with the world. There's some of my family members that have often said they just wish that everybody in the world could be one big happy family. They don't want any conflict. They don't ever take any stands. They don't want to ever offend anyone. I want you to know that the world cannot be one big happy family. Was Jesus friends with the whole world? In fact, Jesus tells us we have to do something to be his friend, doesn't he? Jesus says, ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I have commanded you. You've got to do what Jesus says if you want to be a friend of God. There's a difference in being a friend of God and being a child of God. We're born into the family of God. We're part of the family of God because God chose us before the foundation of the world and predestinated us to be conformed to the image of His Son. We're part of the family of God because of what God has done for us. We don't do something to become children of God in a covenant sense. God did that for us. But in order for us to be a friend of God, the Bible says we have to keep His commandments. And when you're a friend of God, you know what you have within you? You have peace. You have great peace. So, what does the text say in Psalm 122 and verse 6? It says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray that God will dwell with you. Because when God is dwelling with you and dwelling in you, and He will only dwell with you and in you when you're keeping His commandments, when God is dwelling with you, you have peace in your soul. Have any of you ever felt that peace when God was dwelling with you, when you felt Him in your soul? Have any of you ever lost that peace of feeling God's presence in your soul? That's a hell on earth, is when you know what it is to have the peace of God and then you lose the peace that passeth all understanding. And so, John 14, listen to what Jesus says in verse 27. Jesus says, peace I leave with you. Now, Jesus was about to go and be crucified here, and he says, peace I leave with you. And then he says, my peace I give unto you. Is he distinguishing between the peace that he gives and the peace that the world gives? Absolutely. Will the world have peace with you if you'll just leave them alone and let the world go in an ungodly way? I've been told in this community by a number of different people, if you'll just stay in the church and stay out of issues in the community, we can get along fine. Well, I'm not going to stay out of the issues. And this is the community I live in. And I have a responsibility as a Christian to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. I have a responsibility, and you have a responsibility to get out in the world. We come together in the house of God to worship God, and to be fed from God's Word and to know how to live and what to do. But then we're to go out into the world and have an influence for good in our community. Oh, the devil would be fine and happy if the only time that you ever manifested love for God is in the house of God. That would be a good compromise. The devil would be completely satisfied with that. But that's not what Jesus Christ has taught that we're to do. We're to go out and to have an influence for good. We're to have the testimony of Jesus Christ everywhere we go. And as we do that, Jesus says, I'll give you my peace. He says, peace I leave with you. Look at verse 27 again. Peace I leave with you, my peace give I unto you, not as the world give I unto you. Can the world give you a peace? Yes, if you'll leave them alone and not take a stand for righteousness, they'll give you a peace. But Jesus says, I'm giving you a peace different than what the world gives. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Now go to John chapter 16. I want to ask you this question. Can you have this peace that we're looking at tonight, the peace that's a calmness and a joy in your soul, can you have that peace without fighting the good fight of faith? No, you cannot. You have to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ in order to have that peace. What does the text say in Psalm 122 and verse 6? Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. But if all you do is pray for the peace of Jerusalem, you'll never have this peace. Look at John 16, verse 33. Jesus continues to speak, and he says, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In Christ, walking with him, you will have peace. In me ye might have peace. In the world, ye shall have what? Tribulation. You're going to have trouble in the world. In me you will have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. All through the Scriptures, especially in the New Testament, the Word of God is concentrating on great peace that God has for His obedient people. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, He gives us great peace in our soul. No matter what else is going on, you can have great peace in your soul. The Word of God tells us not to worry. The Word of God tells us to pray. I want you to notice in Philippians, go forward in your Bibles to Philippians. I want you to notice carefully the wording there. In Philippians chapter 4, listen to what the Scriptures teach here about getting this peace, having the peace of God. The peace of God. Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 6. Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 6, the Word of God says, be careful for nothing. That is, don't worry about anything. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Does He tell you to do something? Yes, He does. And then what does He say will come when you do what He's told you to do in verse 6? He says, the peace of God which passeth all understanding. Brethren, when you need peace the most, and you've been trying to walk with the Lord, God will give you peace, and nobody that doesn't understand the peace of God which passeth all understanding will even be able to comprehend how you can be so calm in your soul. The peace of God passeth all understanding. In fact, I believe that even you will be amazed at the calmness of your soul when you feel the peace of God in your life. What's the difference in the peace of God and the God of peace? There's a difference. You go home and think about it, but I want you to look at what does it speak of in verse 7 that you'll have? And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds. Now come down to verse 9. All of you know verse 8. I'm not going to read that. But verse 9 says, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. What does he say in verse 7? The peace of God, which passeth all understanding. You'll have that. What does it say in verse 9? If you do what I've taught you to do, he says, then the God of peace shall be with you. If you have the God of peace, you have the peace of God. If you have the peace of God, you have the God of peace. But there's a difference. You go home and study that some more. Let me go in closing to a couple of scriptures in the Old Testament. I ask you, first of all, to turn to Isaiah. Look at Isaiah chapter 26. In Isaiah chapter 26, listen first to verse 3. Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3. Isaiah 26 and verse 3, the Word of God says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. If your mind is on the Lord, if you're thinking about God and the things of God, if your mind is stayed on God, he says, God will keep you in perfect peace. God will keep you in perfect peace. That is that no matter what the devil and all of his angels try to do, God will keep you in perfect peace if you will keep your mind on the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Depend on God. Know that he cares for you. Go to one other scripture in closing. Look at Isaiah chapter 48. Isaiah 48. And listen please to verse 18. While you're turning there, let me ask you this question. Have any of you ever seen, I just thought about a sign that I've seen several places. K-N-O-W. Know Jesus, comma, K-N-O-W, no peace. Any of you ever seen that? Know Jesus. If you know Jesus, then you'll know about the peace that I'm talking about. And then right up under that bumper sticker, it says, N-O Jesus, know Jesus. If you don't have Jesus in your life, no peace. Jesus is the only one that can give you this peace that we're talking about. In Isaiah chapter 48, and we'll close with verse 18, the Word of God says, oh, that thou hadst hearkened to my commandments. Is God speaking to his people here, Israel? Oh, that thou hadst, if you had just done what I told you to do. Oh, that thou hadst hearkened to my commandments. Then had thy peace been as a river and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea. Can you have peace like a river? Children, I love to hear them sing. One of the songs the children sing is, I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river in my soul. That came right out of the Word of God, right here in Isaiah 48:18. He says, oh, if you had just listened to my commandments, then you would have had peace like a river. Look at verse 22. Verse 22 in the same chapter says, there is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked. No peace to the wicked. Serve God, and you'll have the peace of God. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem is my prayer for Christ's sake.